Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And joining us right now is former pro football player Kelvin Edwards, talking about his Kelvin's Kindness Foundation. They provide housing assistance, nutritious meals, touring services, health education for those in need, and much, much more. Kelvin, good talking to you again, man. How you been?
Man, great, man. You know, it's been a long time since me and you had a conversation since 1987?
Something like that, way back in the day. And I'm really proud of the fact that you are doing something with your foundation. There's a lot of athletes who put together a foundation while they're playing. And then, you know, they got family member and friends working with them on whatever the cause it is. But their nonprofits don't really do very well because they don't pay a lot of attention to it. I know your Kelvin's Kindness Foundation is completely different because you were hands-on and you guys have made such a big difference here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I want to tell the story. I want you to tell the story first, right off the bat. You were kind of telling me this the other day about how you had the idea to provide laundry service for homeless people. Tell me about how you hooked up a laundromat with people who have no homes and they needed their clothes clean.
Most definitely. So, you know, collaboration means everything, you know, Chris. You know, it's just like me and you in the 80s. You know, you was a, you know, good mentor. You was solid. You know what I'm saying? You knew which direction to go in Dallas because you've been here, you know, for a long time. And being a young kid, it's difficult to kind of navigate around a lot of things. And so, you know, collaboration, I learned to, you know, to work with other foundations that helped me empower my foundation. I help them empower their foundation. And so working together, that unity, I always say unity is power. And in power come miracles, right? So every Wednesday, you know, we'll come together, you know, find a washing dryer, you know, laundromat somewhere in the Dallas area, refer pretty much the South Dallas area.
Right.
And we'll try to spend probably between, it's not big, it's $300-$500 at the max, you know what I'm saying? And we wash all the homeless, you know, the clothes, you know what I'm saying, on a Wednesday, you know what I'm saying? And we feed them a meal and take care of them and make sure they're okay. And so we make sure they, you know, they're doing good. So that's the main trigger that we try to make sure we understand that, you know, you can't be this by yourself, but you can be this together. You know, you can't win a football game with just the players itself.
Right.
You're going to need the water boy. You're going to need the tower boy. You're going to need the field people. Everybody has to come together to make this one glamorous, you know, really powerful unit together. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we do. We try to come together with other, you know, foundations, and we clean them up. We know we make sure they fold the clothes. We make sure they get the clothes dry. We make sure the clothes get washed. We make sure we got washing powder, bleach, whatever it needs. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing like, you know, feeling good, smelling good. You know what I'm saying? Because when you feel good, you smell good, you know, you can do some good things then. And everybody got a positive attitude and everybody working together to do what's right. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, you know, I got big vision for homeless, and it's just, you know, and it's passion for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've seen it from close up, from family members, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That maybe went on the left side or the right side of their life and say, you know, hey, you know, I'm gonna do it my way, you know what I'm saying? But didn't work out the way they want to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know these people have so much mental, their mind is so brilliant, Chris. You know, and the reason why I'm telling you this is because I know it in some doctors and some lawyers and right. some, you know, husbands and brothers.
And they wind and up
sisters.
Homeless. Yeah.
They wind up homeless. And so now imagine if you can get them into a place where we can treat them with these herbs and we treat them with the natural herbs and things and get their mind back right. I got a doctor. I got a construction worker right
yeah.
here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got a foundation guy sitting right here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's people sitting here. And I'm telling you, Chris, it is so amazing, man, when you talk about, you know, I get excited because I just, man, it just makes me just want to cry sometimes.
Yeah, because what you do is give them an opportunity for hope, and then they become productive again. In other words,
yes.
it's not like they throw their lives away if they see that there are people out there who actually care. And that's where yeah. you step in.
Right. See, Chris, see, a lot of us want to talk about it. They just need somebody that can walk with them.
Right.
Support them. They can, you know, just give them a hug every once in a while, or give them a drink every once in a while, like a, you know, hey, a drink of water, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, or orange juice, or Gatorade, or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, because they struggling, and they know they're struggling. They know that at any time they can change their life.
Exactly.
They really do. You know what I'm saying? They just got to say, I don't want to do this no more.
Right.
I'm just gonna go through the programs that they have in place in Dallas, Texas, and make it right.
So Kelvin, like I said, I love the passion you speak with. Let's go back. You were talking about the 1980s. And again, you guys do more than just work with homeless people. We're going to get into all the different things that Kelvin's Kindness Foundation does and the giving back that
yes,
you
sir.
Do, especially around the holidays. But I wanted to go back to, like I said, the 80s and the sports analogies that you use, the practice, the repetition, yes. the teamwork to shape habits, you know, for kids and for those who are trying to put their lives back together. Can you talk about how, you know, the football or the sports structure helped you? And then also when you decided to create your foundation, you know, the inspiration behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, man, see what sports does is it take it to a whole nother level. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you on that field, are you in that classroom, or you are in your house or your community? These are life lessons that you
yes.
learn.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so it puts, you know, you don't just take life and say, I'm not going to use what I learned in my house, in my growing up, in my house. Or I'm not going to use what I learned on that football field and I'm just going to separate it. No, sirree. These are all life lessons that you learn to structure you and put you in a position to be accountable and give you, build your confidence and to make you better. You see what I'm saying? And
it yes, makes you slow down and say that again, because that's important. It's accountability. And that's what you get in sports, in particular. If you're going to be good at what you do, you have to be accountable for your teammates and your coaches. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, because when you got accountability, you know, people are going to let you know this is your infrastructure here. This is what you're going to do here. This is what you got to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm counting on you to do what you're supposed to do. And as a receiver, I can't say I'm going to go down on a run, on a passing play and make a block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unless it's designed for me to do a quick screen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to do my part. You know what I'm saying? And if I don't do my part, then that play fall apart. So the center don't hike the ball, the play don't get started. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so let's say the cadence is on two and he say, huh, and they think he's going to get the ball. He's not going to get the ball because it's on two. Huh, huh. So my thing is we got to make these kids accountable. But at the same time, we build a confidence and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
We say, look here, man. No, hey, you ought to have been here at 3 o'clock. I can remember being a rookie, a second year player, and walking in, and I'm in a meeting room, and one of our players walk in 30 seconds late. Now, this is a Hall of Famer. And you know what? He got fined $5,000.
Woo.
Now, I can imagine, you know, I can imagine that I could have probably got cut if I walked in that 30
right.
seconds
late. Right. Yeah, you're just a young player. You're not a Hall of Famer.
Right. And so, watch this. You're making your people accountable. And when I took the football field being on time, I did the same thing in my business when I ran car dealerships,
mm-hmm.
you know, Fortune 500 companies, you know, President Award companies that was, you know, that got several President Award for
mm-hmm.
the year. Now, watch this here. I made sure people was accountable. Hey, your own time. This is your schedule. This is what time you got to be here. These are the things A, B, and C, and D you got to do every day. to be consistent. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to pick out three things you're going to achieve today. And I say, these are my three things that I'm going to achieve. I ain't going to pick out 10 things. I'm going to do three things. And I'm going to say, I need this done, 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going to work till them three happen. If that third one give me a problem, then I put three more on top of it. And then I might put that to the side and come back to it. But I keep moving.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
But these are the things that makes you better in life, Chris. It makes the team stronger, and it builds the confidence that you feel that you can do anything. When you win the small victories, Chris, it makes life so much easier. That's why I put three things to achieve every day. Because when I achieve these three things, I feel great about myself.
Exactly.
Instead of me putting down 10 things and achieve nothing.
I mean, it's exactly the fact that it makes you feel confident because it makes you feel like I can accomplish things. I was able to get those three things, and then you just start stacking them up, and then you start having more courage to say, you know what, I can do a little bit more because I've been successful doing these three things. These are some of the things that you guys teach students. And by the way, we're talking with Kelvin Edwards, former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, and you played for Tom Landry. Can you tell us a Tom Landry story that something that he might have given you that made you have faith in yourself and made you realize that you could do some things?
So I'm going to bring this player up. I'm going to say his name because everybody knows he is. So it's nothing bad. So Ed Jones been there since 1972, I think.
Yeah, the 1970s.
So this is 87. And so I'm lifting weights. And, you know, we had that little workout facility outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm lifting weights. Tom Landry right next to me riding his bike. And at the same time, you know, I take a break in my workout, but Tom Landry's still riding his bike.
Yeah.
And he said, Kelvin, so how was Liberty University? You know, he was always on FCA.
That's right. Fellowship. He helped found it.
Yes, sir. And so we having a conversation about the school. He asked me, man, how was the school? And how, you know, how nice was it? And so he's talking about Dr. Jerry Falwell because he's a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, you know, Falwell's a fan of him. Of Tom Landry and Tom Landry fan of the Falwell. And so he going on and on and on about conversation about the school and how, you know, what kind of school Christian University were and how did they treat us and things that we did at the school. And so I leave, I get finished working out, right? I go to the locker room and Ed locker room was way across from mine. But, you know, I'm new. And he right across from mine. He said, K.E., man, how you could have conversation with Tom Landry? And I've been here since 1972 and never had a conversation. See, man, I tell people this right here. Being in the right place at the right time and having faith with God, you can do a lot of things.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And me being in the right place at the right time was that part. And so I tell these kids a lot of time, sometime you got to fire your friends that you think you're friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes they mean right for themselves, but they don't mean right for you. And so when these programs I put in, like at Kelvin's Kindness program, I got a program kind called The Minds of a Champion. Okay.
Okay.
And what we do with the Mind of a Champion for young men is we, you know, they face, these kids face some serious pressure. Can I really tell you what they pressure, the things that they go through with that the kids go through sometimes? See, in 1972. 73, 74, 75, in the 70s, right? I was raised in Atlanta, Georgia. And sometime I would come home to no lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometime I would come home with no water, you know, water bill would be cut off, and no food in the refrigerator. And sometime lunchtime was my only lunch. And so I had to bring, I was one of them kids that I love my mom. And I used to take half my lunch and put it in my pocket and bring it home in case she might need something to eat.
Wow.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so you never know, you know, what's going to go down when you in certain neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And now keep this in mind. I also faced death before I was 10 years old. I saw death right in front of me. A guy got killed right in front of me. I also saw my mother, you know, go through domestic violence with my father because he was an alcoholic. You know, beat down, blood up, and you know, almost killed. okay? But I've seen these things happen firsthanded. And then now keep this in mind, Chris, check this out. The school expect for me as a kid to come to school and be focused on school when I just went through all that trauma, okay? They expect me, after I've been through all that violence and all that stuff that happened in my house and all this, you know, things that going on in my household for us financially, right?
Mm-hmm.
They expect me as a young man to come into school.
Block it out.
And stay focused.
You're right.
But they don't realize that these kids, even today, right? Even today, Chris, they come to school. And I told the board of Arlington last week, I said, look, these kids come to school with the world on their shoulder. And you asking them to focus on school because you didn't realize they went through that trauma. You don't realize, and half you can't handle what they just went through. You don't realize that kid, I wake my daughter up every morning and say, baby, are you okay? Good morning. How you doing? What you want for breakfast? You need me to get your dad to get you anything? You need me to get your toothbrush, your D.O. and all that stuff? Watch here. They wake up to get your boy out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, what's going on? They wake up to a fight that morning with their mom and daddy. You know what I'm saying? They wake up to a gunshot, a night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Their neck, or knife to their face, you know what I'm saying, or gun to their head. Think about it. And so we asking that kid, hey, I need you to focus. These kids can't focus. They got too much on their mind. They got too much on their brain. And so you say, you know, you want to know what this is gonna help in this family? Hey, it ain't gonna help anything right now because they ain't got the right place to go to be a safe space. Someone they can talk to and they can, you know, talk about what's happened. And they can relate to what they have, or can trust you to talk to you. And so that's why I'm putting mentor programs in these places.
That's right.
That's why I'm putting places where they can bring that people, they can talk about their emotions. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They can talk about their experience because the teacher, I'm not going to allow them to talk about their experience. They ain't got time. They got to teach a class. And I understand that. But the counselor don't have time to sit down to figure out what program to put this kid in. And so we say, look here. If we ever gonna make our community strong, are we ever gonna make our country great? Are we ever gonna make our life great and make the world great again? Or ever be in that position where it can be great, whether it's again or not? We got to first of all get to these kids. We got to first of all get mentors in front of the kids, get life coaching in front of these kids, get leadership in front of these kids. You know what I'm saying? Get people that they can trust in front of these kids, because when they start doing that, then we building them up. So they can be trusted in our community, and our community won't be so much violent in our community. And if we don't do that, that's going to be a problem. And so I say, Chris, we got to take that next step, you know what I'm saying? And really truly come together as a community and start, you know, It's nothing to be kindness, Chris. It takes no, it takes nothing to be kind.
Exactly.
That's why I call my foundation Kelvin's Kindness. It takes nothing to be kind. And the one thing I realized when I met you back in the 80s, man, you was always kind. Mm-hmm. You was always kind to everybody, even the guys that didn't like what you were saying. Mm-hmm. You was always kind to them. Mm-hmm. You were saying, and you always, you know, us a way to, you know, do certain things, and you always were talking positive. I ain't never ever hear you talking in a negative conversation. I ain't never hear you argue, get mad, even when people may say something that bad. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you know what? And to me, we see that. I saw it in you. But who do these kids see in there? What man's walking through the school so they can see that? You know, I walked through these schools, Chris, and I'm probably over about almost 125 schools, right? Mm-hmm. But watch here. Some school I see a man, well, I might see two men in there, right? Mm-hmm. It might be a janitor, okay? And it might be a security guard. But ain't no teachers. You know, ain't nobody to look up to. Ain't no leadership. Ain't no real male leadership they can see, and they can see like them and say, I want to be like that. You know, it's difficult. And so the vision is tough when they ain't got nobody to see it, to emulate them, to say, hey, he's a teacher. Or he's a janitor, or he's a lawyer, or he a principal. And so I want to be like that. I want to one day, this is my goal. It's always been my goal right here.
Mm-hmm.
Is to take 100 men and put them in the school for a two-minute drill. For a two-minute drill. You know what I mean? You know, nothing like a two-minute drill, you know. And you say what you got to say in 15 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And let's put these men in front of these kids and let them ask a question for, you know, give them 45 seconds to ask a question, and we in and out. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a different maker.
And you know what? I know where you're going with this, because it's little things like that, baby steps, to start impacting lives. In fact, you know, when you came up with Kelvin's Kindness, the belief was one act of kindness can change an entire generation. That was your logic. Oh, yeah. And now, like I said, Kelvin's Kindness is a multi-program 501c3 nonprofit serving families, students, entire communities. And you mentioned just a little while ago the mind of a champion. And I like the fact that you say it's a mindset, the same energy athletes bring to the game, teaching young men and girls to bring that focus to life, school, and leadership. And what do you say? Mm-hmm. You got to own your own story. Can you talk about how you try to teach boys to own their own story so they can be accountable and not say, well, it's not my fault. You know, I was whatever. Don't be the victim is what you're saying, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm saying, we want to build young men up to face the pressure of the things they're going through mm-hmm. every day, okay? In their neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, in the school, in the church, in the household, you know what I'm saying? And we want to give them the opportunity, you know what I'm saying, so they can reach their goals. So we setting goals for them. So we trying to show them how to be a leader. So we got leadership class, okay? And we trying to show them how to, you know, strengthen, you know, be, you know, you can be emotion, but that's strengthen that. That's work through them that pain, that work through that situation that you've been through. And let's make you strong. Let's discipline that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Let's discipline that kid like he, for a lifetime, because that discipline is going to allow that kid to understand that everything he's going through is a reason behind it. And it's going to either make you strong or it's going to make you weak. Or you can either fall to the weakness and say, hey, make an excuse about it, or you can be about it. And so we're trying to make sure these kids understand that, hey, look here, ain't nothing going to stop you from being successful. Ain't nothing gonna stop you from growing to be the man that you was already put on this earth to be. Now, and the reason why I tell them this story, the first story I always tell the kids first of all, I say, look here, look, you already passed the first test. You already passed the greatest test of them all. Imagine this one little egg that's in your mom, right? And all these little bitty tattoos, the little I call them tattoos, okay? Mm-hmm, these little mm-hmm. tattoos, it's swimming towards that one egg.
Mm-hmm.
It's thousands of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you, they hitting this egg and they dying. Hitting this egg and dying. They hitting this egg going past egg. They doing all kinds of stuff. But you got the power. It was so much your destiny. You hit the egg and you accepted it right away. Imagine that test you go. That's the first test you went through. And you passed the test. That's what I look at. So they passed that greatest test. So ain't nothing you can't achieve. Ain't nothing you can't do. Ain't no, it's no test you can't overcome. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Is that why you had helped the students build their vision boards, the SMART goals, the personal mission statement? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So my mission statement is to empower the youth and the community, and to empower the power the minds of the champions so they can be leaders, mm-hmm. confidence leaders that can lead and with confidence, lead in a place where they can grow. And as they grow, they learn how to understand their goals. They understand their victories. They understand how to be, you know, good, kind people in this world, in society. And they understand that if they want something, they work hard for it. And get it. If they don't get it, then that's fine. It's work for the next goal. So one goal don't define who you are. One goal don't define what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we always say, you know, hey, you know, speak it. We always say you put all the stuff you want on a piece of paper. Whatever you want. You want a big house? Put it on paper. Because you got to visualize.
That's right. That's right. And that sets the goal. If you put it on paper, that means that's a commitment.
Right. And that's your, and every day you need to see this, and every day you need to say, these are the things that I'm getting ready to go achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you can't let the petty things in life get to you now. When I trip you up, you can't say, I tripped you up and I can't get back up. I'll manage you. No, you can't even hit me, because you hit me, you might go to jail. So what's going to happen now? You just get on up and you just keep moving, because you're not going to let that little trip stop you from reaching your goals. You're not going to let that little situation stop you from being your best. Because when you're moving forward, you're seeing one, you're so tunnel vision. It's all about the things you're trying to achieve. And so they all on the board and you see them every day. And every day every time you hit one of them victories, you check them out. So you got the small goals, you got the medium goals, and you got the super goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in elementary school, your goals is to do what? We want to attend school every day. We want to attend school every day.
Yeah, don't miss a day.
That right. We're gonna make our grades gonna be, you know, between, you know, 80 to 100.
Right.
Is what we want to be at. Okay.
No C's, you know, no D's.
Right. And so these are the
A's and B's.
And then watch it. We want to be kind to everybody. These are goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We want to be a gentleman. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to open the doors. We want to be able to pull the tables out. We want to be able to do, we want to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Okay. We want to be able to do these things, because these are the things what we're doing is we building our mindset now.
That's right. Shaping habits for school and life. In other words, absolutely, being consistent. And I like the fact that you guys have the structured sessions, the weekly goals, the team accountability circles, youth learned. When youth learn consistency and emotional regulation and focus, they all do better. And I like the way you guys have that prioritized. And with that being said, Kelvin, please tell us what you guys got going on going up to the holidays, because I know there's always special projects, there's special things that maybe people want to, you know, partner with you on or volunteer with Kelvin's Kindness. Can you talk about some of those and some of the, I guess it's also NFL alumni. You guys also are doing some things together, but they may be helping you as well. But just some of the stuff that Kelvin's Kindness is doing this through the holidays.
So today we got what we call Quotes for Kids. And we go to schools and we say, look here, find out what kid come to school that sit in your class when it's cold without a jacket on. Because there's plenty of them. You know what I'm saying? There's plenty of kids.
Yep, coats for kids.
So we go by coats. So today we're going to Bryan Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pass out probably about 80 coats over there.
Nice.
Today. And these going to be coats from kindergarten all the way up to sixth grade. Okay. And then we're going to go. And then that's going to be for the next 2 weeks. We're going to be going to different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want these kids to know that, hey, look here, I don't want you to stop because of the weather's bad.
Right.
And a lot of kids go to school because a lot of these, keep in mind, see, a lot of these kids are raised by kids.
Yeah.
And then a lot of these kids are homeless kids. Mm-hmm. Raised, they go to your house, Chris, say one day. They go to my house, say one day. They go to Jim's house, say one day. They go to Tom's house, say one day. Mm-hmm. They go to Susan's house, say one day. So they go to each people's house, and you think they're in school. They're in a home and they solid, and they really not.
Nope.
They jumping from home house to home. House.
Yeah. Staying with relatives and staying with friends.
Absolutely. We got schools that we got domestic violence. It's the number one domestic violence school parents in the state of Texas. Okay. Right here in Arlington. and we make sure that these kids getting stuff they need, because we don't want them to make the excuse, I don't have this.
Right.
You know, whatever you don't have, we're gonna make sure you got it. Okay. And then we got this big event coming up in December 3rd. It's Toys for Tots.
Right.
So no kids is gonna be left alone. Coach Robinson, you know, mm-hmm. he's one of the leaders of this thing here in the military, and AT&T has been, I mean, they is a number one fan of this Toys for Tots.
Right, they're partnering with you. Yeah, they're partnering.
We're gonna raise 1 million toys. So December 3rd, we're gonna be downtown Dallas, okay, at AT&T, and it's gonna show you all the toys. We're gonna be loading these trucks up with all these toys.
That's right, right there in the Discovery, right there in the Discovery District, right there in front of AT&T. Yes. Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That we're gonna be at. And so, and then on December 4th, we're gonna be in Shreveport raising money mm-hmm. for Toys for Tots, for Best Wishes Foundation, for Kelvin's Kindness, for different foundations, so we can start, you know, giving things away for the kids that need, for like food and things that's that they excellent. Need. Like most of these kids, and I jump subject, but most of these kids here go home now because, you know, they don't tuck away the food stamps and they don't tuck away the after school programs from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now they don't have food. So what I'm focused on now is I need to raise some money to build food pantries for these kids. So on Mondays, Wednesday through Friday, they have a backpack for the food. And on the weekend, they have a backpack for food for a whole family. Okay. Because a lot of these kids nowadays don't have food to take home.
Right. So they don't have the way we used to have, just automatically you had some kind of meal at the house, you know, but not anymore. Times have changed. It's a little bit tougher out there for underserved communities. And Kelvin, again, I can't thank you enough for being on the show and talking about all the things that Kelvin's Kindness is doing out there. Can you, is there a location where people can find out more about Kelvin's Kindness? I think you said your Facebook page is just blowing up because, you know,
if you go to Facebook page,
social media, man.
Yes. So Kelvin Kindness is spelled K-E-L-V-I-N apostrophe S. And then Kindness, K-I-N-D-N-E-S-S. Okay, so that's one place you can go. And then you can go to my website, kelvinskindness.org. Okay?
Perfect.
Don't put the apostrophe in there, but www.kelvinskindness.org. And that's where you can go. Or you can call me at 469.
Hold on. No, don't do that. They will blow your phone up. But at the same time, I appreciate you sharing as much as you can, because I love your heart and I love the fact that you're there for the kids, especially. Kelvin, thanks for being on the show.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you.
Hey, Chris, I appreciate you, man. Now, thank you for being a blessing to the community.
Thanks so much, Kelvin. Hey, appreciate you, man.
One other thing I want to say, Chris. Last thing I want to say. You know, being a champion, you know, it's all about awards and trophies and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. But it's bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's bigger than just a trophy, a medal, award. You know what I'm saying? It's about measuring how many lives you lift up along the way. How many lives you lift up along the way. And that's what you did. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm lifting up life and changing addresses and changing zip codes as we go.
Hey, preach, Kelvin, and I appreciate you so much. And once again, bless you, man. Our next guest is Miss Tammy Gamble. She's the founder of the Girly Shop Teacher Foundation, a nonprofit that empowers communities to do their own home improvements, their own home projects, their own construction, and thus attracting new people into trades. And let me tell you something, Tammy. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Well, Tammy, first of all, how come I'm talking to somebody about having you as a guest and somebody else said, wait a minute, that's the lady that's on the shop class on Disney Plus. Tammy, was that you?
It was absolutely me. If I hadn't been called the girly shop teacher, I would have never developed a social media presence.
Ah.
Disney Plus was looking for shop teachers for a new TV show mm-hmm. for their inaugural season, and they Googled shop teachers, and they found me because of my social media presence.
Wow. So what did you do on that in that shop class show? I mean, tell us what your experience was like.
It was completely amazing. So I got the call before Disney Plus was even launched. So when they sent me the call, I was like, there's no such thing as Disney Plus. This is a farce. Well, now there's a Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Big time. And so the creator of Who's Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, his name is John Stevens, was creating a show, and he wanted to make sure that kids knew that they could create. So he developed a show called Shop Class, and he asked for shop teachers from all around the nation. I was one of the shop teachers that participated in the competition style show on the third episode of the first season. And I worked with two students. We built a skateboard ramp, and it was an incredible experience being in LA filming, working with the kids, and just all of the amazing things that have happened to Girly Shop Teacher ever since then have just been off the chart.
That is so crazy. Again, let's go back now to Duncanville. So you're a teacher, construction teacher at Duncanville. So tell us about that part. And then how all of a sudden you came up with the Girly Shop Teacher Foundation.
Okay. So I accepted a job as a shop teacher after being told, hey, we need a shop teacher at Duncanville. I said, I know some people. They said, no, fool you. I landed the position a year after I got there. We had our first female principal, Dr. Tia Locke Simmons. And in a Dallas Morning News article, she called me the Girly Shop Teacher. I thought it was so catchy. I bought the domain name. I started calling myself that. And then I was like, this is cool. And then one New Year's Eve, Renee Elise Goldsberry from the award-winning Hamilton play, who's been a longtime friend of mine, says to me, so what are you doing, Tammy? I said, oh, I'm just a shop teacher. She's like, where's your social media? And I was like, don't have that. But it goes to show how the people in your lives, especially women helping women evolve and create and redefine themselves, is such a magnificent thing. And if it hadn't been for those two women just putting a spark into my bucket, it would have never ignited and started a fire.
So let me get this straight. Back then, you were just the shop teacher at Duncanville. And then all of a sudden, you decided to retire. And next thing you know, you're not really retired. The foundation took off. Your nonprofit started keeping you busier than ever. But it's stuff that you love to do.
Absolutely. Putting tools in the hands that needs them is my mission. Every day that I can help a new person with a skill, a moment where they're just finding out that there's something else they can do, the better. Mm-hmm. And I especially love working with young people, because the younger we are when we even learn how to do something, even if it's as simple as you know, making a peanut butter sandwich, that could be your next great chef.
Yeah.
But when you put the tool in a child's hand and you see them evolve, that's just magnificent. I have students who are now studying for their doctorates in architecture, in construction science. I have young ones who are just now getting their very first taste of being on power tools. So this has turned into not just a foundation, but a movement to empower the next generation.
In fact, your mission statement is to ignite a spirit to build in youth and reframe the need, value, and inclusion of construction education. This is very impressive. And again, I am just over here grinning with you, because you are doing what you love to do and you thought you were going to retire. So let me get this straight. You're the shop teacher. What was your main thing? Cabinets? Because you mentioned the skateboard rink thing that you built on the TV show. So what was your expertise? Was it? Because when I think about construction, I'm thinking about buildings or houses or cabinetry. What was your specialty?
So my goal was to make sure that the kids were certified through National Centers for Construction Education and Research through their particular curriculum. That curriculum teaches building trades from the aspect of learning how to build a house.
Okay.
So, you know, beginning with learning how to measure, understanding, mm-hmm. you know, windows and door layouts.
Yeah, making frames.
How to frame up and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, once you learn that, there's so many different aspects to construction and millwork. It's not just one thing. So understanding how to build cabinetry, understanding how to set cement frames, understanding masonry work. There's so many different aspects, you know, knowing how to operate heavy machinery,
mm-hmm.
driving a forklift. There's so many different things that we do in the construction industry, and I do them all.
Look at you. So let me tell you something. See, I'm grinning over here too, because you and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and I told you when I was a little boy, my first mm-hmm. real job, my grandpa had his own construction company, and I used to help him with, he was building houses, and he had me clean bricks, which is not fun to do. And then he had me do all these other little things, including, you know, clean up around his shop. And I always thought that was very, very fascinating. Now I'm gonna give you a little sidebar. How come just recently I went over to the Habitat for Humanity with the Dallas Mavericks, and we did a little, you know, get back to the community thing. And I was in there helping build frameworks for these big houses and stuff. I was like, yeah, back to the job again. And I'm like, this is what you do all the time.
It is. And it is so empowering.
Yes.
Not just to do it, but to make sure someone else knows how to do it.
Right.
So I've been backing myself up from the projects as much
mm-hmm.
and making sure that I spend my time valued in making sure that the next generation knows how to do it.
Okay. So when you first started, I mentioned when I was a little boy, you know, I was helping my grandpa. It's like unusual for girls to get into home building.
Ooh-hoo.
It's usually homemaking, to be stereotypical.
That's what it is. My parents bought a trap house when I was 6 years old in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
And I mean a trap house.
Mm.
Yeah. There were needles and
sound like a song in a rap song in Atlanta. Sound like.
Yeah. They got a good price on it. They bought it, and I was too prissy to live in that thing. So I was like, well, I got to clean this zone up to make sure that I can stay here and my room needs painting.
Oh, so you were doing it yourself.
And that's where it started.
Okay.
That's where it started.
You
that's
said
where it started at 6 years old.
You
yeah.
said, I'm going to get my room right.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, along the way, you know, my dad taught me everything he knew. And he was a building trades instructor for the Federal Bureau of Prisons.
Okay.
So I learned the crafts from him, not even knowing it. I learned it in a very passive way. But the beautiful thing was, because I was always using fractions, because I was cutting angles, math was so much easier for me at school
mm-hmm.
because I had the practical application when I was at home.
Mm. This is, like I said, I'm just grinning as you tell this story, because again, it's unusual, but it's so cool at the same time. And like I said, for those who have ever built anything, and in fact, put it like this, there's a reason Lego is a huge industry, because people and kids like to build.
I still have Legos. I love my Legos.
So Tammy, let's talk about, like, so then you started, like I said, you started working different things, but when you wound up, like I said, being the shop teacher at Duncanville,
then
your friends started telling you to have a social media presence,
mm-hmm.
when did you decide to have a foundation?
I decided to have a foundation, I think it was around 2018,
mm-hmm.
because I knew that there had to be some room for me to expand outside of the classroom at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working with the Girl Scouts of America, working with Ross Perot Museum,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, other smaller home group organizations in order to provide the service of, you know, the building trades. And then, of course, as you know, COVID hit.
Right.
Which put us in the house. And that opened up a whole nother spectrum, because I was able to do 50 episodes of something I call Garage School, which helped to support my fellow construction teachers throughout the nation.
What was the song?
From the classroom.
What medium was
that?
I did it
on Facebook Live.
Look out.
Every day for 50 days, you know, at the end of the school year to get the teachers through the COVID stretch.
Wow. That's so cool.
And so that was really fun to do. And then because of doing that, you know, I was kind of bored in my spare time, you know, COVID, you're at home. You're like, oh, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was tired of watching Bonanza. So I started telling him little silly stories about being a little girl, you know, learning how to do the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that turned into my book, Love Letters to My Toolbox.
So you wrote a book too?
Yes, it's on Amazon. Love Letters to My Toolbox, The Block Girls. It's the first in an entire series. And it's a fun and silly series about how I mistakenly fell into loving tools.
This is so, look, first of all, you're a very engaging person to talk to in the first place. And I can just see this in your book, and I can see this in your videos, that you're a very engaging personality. In other words, you're not boring. You don't talk over people's heads. You got a unique personality. And I can see why, you know, you've been successful doing this, because like I said, the whole concept just works. And then the kids learn from you at the same time.
I am so humbled.
But it's true.
I am so humbled. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my grandmother was an amazing educator. Her name is Jimmy Tyler Brashear. There's a school named after her in Oak Cliff, right across from Keith Park.
I know where that is.
That's my grandma.
Okay. Brashear. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, she would always say, he who teaches learns, he who learns teaches. And I never really got that, but she forced me to study education as a minor when I went to Howard University.
Mm-hmm. And look at them said, bison. I didn't know you were bison.
Right. Oh, baby, I'm bison to my blood.
Everybody on my mama's side of the family is a bison. My sister, too. My mama, too.
Don't make me scream at you, you know.
So you go off to Howard. Yeah, you go to Howard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Washington.
I studied education and I didn't really like it, but the learning the pedagogy at that phase of life gave it a full circle moment when I incorporated the construction and building trade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting because my approach to the learning process of the classroom is that if you don't know how to do something, I need to make sure that I ensure learning. So when I worked in the classroom, you know, if a kid made a 50 on an assessment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was my 50.
I got
not
you.
The student's 50.
Right. You said, where did I not teach you? Where did you not learn from what I was explaining?
Right. And so my whole thing was, I'm going to upload the highest grade. The first time you take an assessment, take it cold turkey, whatever you remember. Mm-hmm. The next time you take an assessment, if you don't get 100, check your notes. Next time, look in the book. Next time, ask someone in the classroom. Last time, come see me. Because with that system, it let students know you don't have to be afraid to look for the answer or ask a question.
Right.
And that's something that we need to make sure our educators are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a very old school method of ensuring learning. I'm not there to make a student feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
I work with power tools. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure you feel safe with me. And that way you can be safe on a tool. You feel safe to ask a question. And that's why I keep doing what I do.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. I love that strategy, that philosophy. But you brought up the power tools, so I got to ask the question.
Yes.
You ever cut something like yourself?
My finger.
I figured nobody does this without some. It's kind of like playing football or a sport. You got to have some kind of injury along the way. It's not like you just go through it unscathed. But you learn from that, right? Is that finger still with you? That's what everybody wants to know.
I still have my body parts. Now, I have lots of nicks and scrapes that I never even honestly feel.
Right.
But yeah, the one cut I felt was my finger.
So tell us what happened.
I was working with a contractor and my electrician was taking all day to finish up something.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to close up a floor so I could lay the carpet. And it was probably 11 o'clock at night before I was able to get to my phase of getting the carpet in. And mm-hmm. I went to cut the carpet and cut my finger.
Oh, and you said, not again.
I didn't say that.
we're gonna keep that off of the show because we let everybody think for themselves what it was. It's like what most folks would have said at that time. Put it like that. Well, okay. So tell me this. Again, I love the fact that you've been able to, with your foundation, create these programs for these young students, and it's kind of like you're an ambassador for the building trades. So what are some of the most interesting projects you've been working on? I mean, not what's getting ready to come up, but things that you've already been building. I mean, we mentioned the Disney Plus show, the shop class, and you mentioned the 50 episodes you did on Facebook Live. What's some of the stuff that you've built or something you said, wow, I cannot believe, but we did it.
So the most recent project that was one of those wow moments. Mm-hmm. I did a 3-week intensive at the top of this school year with the students of Booker T. Washington School for the Performing and Visual Arts.
Downtown Dallas.
In downtown Dallas.
Eric Abadu and Nora Jones' school.
You know that's my girl.
Yeah.
But I did a 3-week intensive and we built the set for Guys and Dolls. And that included a elevated platform that was 28 feet wide by 12 feet deep on 3 tiers for the band.
Wow. Wait.
Just,
so let's slow down. Let's
the orchestra.
Let me let this soak in for a minute. So you and your crew built the set for the Broadway production of Guys and Dolls.
For the school, but it's
the one that everybody knows from around the world because it was on Broadway back in the day.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I worked with the PTSA. The students from the school were all involved from every department. It was just amazing the students that came in and poured into that set, and it was a beautiful experience because they learned everything from, you know, introductory to power tools to learning how to calculate, you know, the measure, calculate the amount of tensile strength and that we needed based on the band members being up on the platform,
right? The instruments and how much they weigh and all of that.
And so They learn how to strike the set. They learn how to label it. They learn how to store it for future use.
Wow.
And it was an amazing experience. Also, and
it sounds so amazing. I'm like, how? You said you did it for 3 weeks, but when they said we need a set, was it just totally up to you? Did they give you a concept and you said, okay, I can handle this?
The production team at Booker T. Washington had developed a concept, and the concept was really ambitious for the time frame and for the student skill level. So we made some modifications so that, because we had certain equipment that we had to work with, we weren't able to do like a 28-foot tall building because we didn't have the lifts available to get it that tall. So I think we wound up going, 16 or 20 feet in the air instead of a total of 28. But they gave a concept, and I sat down and redrafted with the students and the production team so that we could meet the needs of the production. Yep. We had 130 students on stage at one time with that production. It was magnificent.
Okay, so I'm going to sound like one of your friends with the social media. Did anybody video the making of this?
Absolutely.
There you go. I was about to say, please, I hope there's like where footage and people can look back on this and, or make it into a documentary or something, you know?
Yeah. We definitely got footage. I actually have it pinned on my social media, Girly Shop Teacher Foundation and Girly Shop Teacher. So I've got it pinned on my social media.
Excellent.
On IG.
Excellent. So with all this being said, and you're talking about all the different tools, and you got to make sure that everybody feels safe around these tools, what's the most dangerous tool you've ever had to work with?
Screwdriver?
Come on now. Power saws, come on. Screwdrivers. I put it like this. You said screwdriver. Okay, it depends on who's holding the screwdriver, right? Yeah, it might be a knife if it was. I got you.
Yeah, I guess the most dangerous tool or the one that I was like, ooh,
yeah,
was I'm a internationally certified trainer for forklifts and scissor lifts.
Okay.
And also for power industrial work platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see someone that is on a boom, you know, that's the layman's term for it, and they're, you know, 10 stories in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do I operate those, I teach tour certification through my union with those tools.
Obviously, you have no problem with heights.
I love
no fear of heights. I don't have a fear of heights.
I love roller coasters, but you drive yourself up there and then you look down and you're like, where is the down button?
You want to hear a little side story? It's so funny. You want to hear a side story of how to overcome things. So Jimmy Johnson, when he was coaching the Cowboys and they went to their first Super Bowl together, he had all the players. He put these 2x4s on the football field. It was at the Rose Bowl back in the day. This was 92 or 93. He had all these 2x4s on the football field. And he told the players to walk across the football field, single file, you know, 55 players, whatever. They walk it through. He said, now do it with your eyes closed. So they did it with their eyes closed. And he said, imagine if this was 10 feet off the ground. Do you think you could do it again? And the players, like, most of them said, yeah, I can do it. You know, they're brave and strong now. They did it with their eyes closed. He said, well, that's the way the Super Bowl is. It's just another game. It's just 10 feet high in the air.
Love that. Yeah. Oh, I love that so much.
I figured you would out of all people. I mean, I'm like, because you deal with stuff like that.
Yeah. And you know, you have to know that if someone else has done it, you can do it.
Yes.
And just make it your own.
Exactly. You know,
and it's those baby steps that you take along the way of learning and watching other people do things safely. That helps to build your confidence.
Exactly.
Because people will tell you, hold up, wait a minute, don't step there. And you just have to listen and follow the lead, just like Jerry Jones did. That is an amazing example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, I don't have too much fear of anything.
See, Tammy, that's why when you retired, you wound up with this foundation. We're talking to Tammy Gamble. She is the founder of the Girly Shop Teachers Foundation. And I'm just... I guess I'm sitting here shaking my head, just grinning, because your story is so compelling and it's so, oh, you're painting such beautiful pictures. So let's talk about some of the people you wind up partnering with, some of these brands. I mean, because your work is being recognized.
Okay, so of course, Disney Plus is mm-hmm. one that I've partnered with. I model with Duluth Trading Company. I represent the Real Women That Do Real Work campaign.
Oh, there you go.
As well as the Workday Warrior campaign. Mm-hmm. I work with Culture Creators, which is an organization out of the New York area that empowers kids to have mentors mm-hmm. within the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And so I work with them every year as their project manager for putting on their award shows in LA. I've worked with Lee Steinberg's event during the Super Bowl. I've worked
Super
with
Super Agent.
Yes. I've worked with the Super Soul Sunday mm-hmm. with BET. Mm-hmm. Let me think. Who else did I work? Oh, Erykah Badu.
That's right.
I just did the costume making for her Amazon Prime event that was done Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris and I go back. You go and I go back so
yes,
far to when Erykah Badu and I both worked for Steve Harvey. Mm-hmm. And it was during that time that I used to sew little clothes for the two of us. Mm-hmm. So when she did the Amazon Prime event, she calls me and she's like, Tammy, I need costumes. I was like, okay, I got you. I pulled out my sewing machine.
Look out.
That's my first love.
Uh-huh.
And made those costumes for her. So there have been so many things that I've done. You know, these hands have taken me around the world. I just can't even... how appreciative I am.
I'm just so happy for you because you're doing exactly what you love to do and you're very successful mm-hmm. at it. You say around the world. What's one of the most exotic location or two that you've done some building or done some things that you did, never would imagine you'd be at?
Ooh, golly. Most exotic place.
Well, just or a surprise. You could say London.
Oh, you know what? No, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Italy, a little town near Vicenza, Italy. I was there and I helped my cousin rebuild a garden mm-hmm. on the cliff of a countryside. And that was probably the most beautiful, exotic place that mm-hmm. I've been. You know, I've been to, you know, London and, you know, wherever I am, whoever I'm around, they're like, can you help me with this? And I'm always like, yes. But yeah, building that garden in Vicenza, Italy was probably one of the most romantic moments I think I could have ever had.
So what's coming up next? What's the Girly Shop Teacher Foundation doing over the next few months, holidays or anything like that, or how people can get in touch with you?
Okay, over the next couple months, well, December 13th, we are having a tool drive. And you know, really what happens is a lot of people don't get involved in working with tools or anything because they just don't have tools.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that people have grandpa's old tools.
That's right.
Dad's old socket
ring.
And
that tool shed back there in the backyard.
And the tool shed, right, stuff in there.
In the garage. Yep.
Right. Or maybe you upgraded and you just don't use that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We are having a tool drive at our new future home. We're you know, getting ready to slate that towards renovation in 2026. So we'll be at that location, which is at 2714 East 11th Street in Dallas, Texas, right across from Columbia Meatpacking Plant.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be there doing a tool drive and having some fun with some of our former students where they tell the community where they've come from since I put those first tools in their hands.
That is fantastic. Tammy, you've been a fantastic guest. We will definitely have to have that on real quick. Thanks for being on the show with us.
I appreciate it.
And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.